Okay, thank you very much, Andrew. Let's take our Bible, shall we, and open to the book of Ezra as we look at this sermon this morning entitled Ezra the Original Boy Scout. Now, you might not, some of you might be sitting thinking, what's this all about? Hopefully, we'll clear that up as we go through this morning. Some people might have an idea what this might be all about. If you've been a scout, who's been a scout? A cub? Brownie? Fellas shouldn't be holding their hands up with brownies. Okay, so some people know a little bit about scouts and brownies. Okay. But as we read this morning, as we go through this, hopefully it'll clear itself up a little as we go. Ezra chapter 7. And we're going to have a little bit of a look this morning at this character called Ezra. Beginning at verse 1 of Ezra chapter 7. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Marioth, the son of Zeruiah, the son of Uzai, the son of Bukai, the son of Abishai, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel the statutes and the judgments. Let's just start praying, shall we, before we have a look at this character named Ezra. Lord, we're so thankful for your word which is open before us this morning. We pray, Lord God, as we dig into your word, that your word would speak to our hearts and lives. Lord, as we see a little bit from this character called Ezra, that these things, Lord God, would encourage us, would help us to grow and to be a person that brings glory and honour to you, as Ezra did, we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So in our scripture passage, we're introduced to this fellow by the name of Ezra. And this morning we want to have a bit of a look at this character to see what we can learn, because we know it tells us in Romans chapter 15 that these things were written aforetime that we might learn from them. So Ezra has been placed in God's word specifically for us to learn this morning. So those things we're going to learn about Ezra's character have been put there by the Holy Spirit for you and for I, so that we can be a little bit more like him, a little bit more like God, and seek God's character. Because we find some of God's character in this man named Ezra. Now we find this book of Ezra here in God's word, and written by Ezra, titled Ezra, written by Ezra, and tradition holds that Ezra was the author of this historical book. He was a scholar, he was a priest, he was a scribe, and he led the second group of Jews out from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And we can find most of that here in chapter 7. And he'd been given authorization by King Artaxerxes to do this. Ezra chapter 8 tells us a little bit about him, especially points out to us that he actually did write this book. In Ezra chapter 8, if we just look at the first verse, it starts talking about Ezra in the first person. And as we go through in this chapter, we can see he talks about himself. And he says there in verse 1, just, these are now the chief of their fathers And this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king. The author identifies himself here. He uses the word me. And if you quickly scan through chapter 8, you can find things where he says in verse 15, and I gathered them together. And then down, we can skip down to verse 16, then I sent for Eleazar. And down to verse 21, there I proclaimed a fast. Okay, the author here refers to himself in the first person. He's the guy that's writing it. He's telling the story about what happened. He gives that personal recount of those things that were going on. He plays a major role in the second part of this book. He plays that major role of leading those Jews back from Babylon, back from captivity in Babylon to Jerusalem. And also and then on into the book of Nehemiah as well. In fact, in the Hebrew Bible, in their canon of scripture, these two books were considered one work. They were considered one. They were written at probably a little bit separate times, perhaps a little bit of overlapping. But we find that they were joined together in the Hebrew canon of scriptures, and then later they were separated when the English translation came into being. And they were written probably somewhere between 456 BC and 444 BC when Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem. So the book can be divided into two parts. And the two parts we find are the two major sections here, Ezra chapter 1 to 6, is the construction of the temple under Zerubbabel, and then Ezra 7 through 10, the reformation of the people under Ezra. So we find that there's two little separate patches of history here as well. We find chapters 1 to 6 covers the return of the Jews with Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple, and happens over about 23 years, verses chapter 1 to 6. From the edict of Cyrus of Persia and ending at the finishing the rebuilding of the temple. So it's about 538 to 515 BC. Ezra chapter 7 then picks up the story about 60 years later. So 7 through 10 is 60 years on from what Zerubbabel started to do, where Ezra led that second group of Israelites back from exile in about 458 BC. So that's where we are in this book. And the events take place in and around Jerusalem, and Israel had come back in. They'd managed to settle a little bit around Jerusalem and within Jerusalem and to populate that area of their former homeland. So Ezra, we saw this morning when we were reading, Ezra the character was a direct descendant of who? Aaron. Okay, we can see that in verse 5. He says there, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. The first priest, in other words. He was a direct descendant, and you can see that. We read through all those little tricky names there, and we can see that Ezra, a direct descendant of Aaron, a priest and a scribe. Thus, he was that priest and scribe in his own right. He could rightly claim that. He was a captive in Babylon, where he was most likely born. He'd never yet seen Jerusalem. He'd never yet seen the Holy Land. He'd always been in captivity. Born there, raised there, and yet his heart was in Jerusalem, with those that were there, and even before those had gone back. His zeal for God and God's law spurred Ezra to lead a group of Jews back to Israel during King Artaxerxes' reign over the Persian Empire, which had sort of replaced the Babylonian Empire where the original people of Israel had been exiled. He was a man of honour who sought to honour God as he led the exiles back to Jerusalem and sought to reform those with him and those there that were already there. So this morning, let's have a look at Ezra and see what he can teach us from his experiences in this task. And if we look there at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 7, this is where the title came from. This is where I saw these verses and thought, oh, I've heard these words before. It says there in verse 6, then Ezra went up from Babylon And he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And then down to verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And I want us to learn this morning from this Ezra, who was a ready scribe, who had prepared his heart. And isn't that the Baden Powell, be prepared? Wasn't that the theme of Scouts, Cubs? Okay, be prepared. And that's what Ezra was. Ezra was prepared. He was ready. And I want to look at some things concerning this in relation to the character of Ezra this morning. This word ready means he was quick and he was skillful. Now I want to have a look at a couple of verses where this same word is used. Let's turn to Psalm 45, shall we? Psalm 45. And it's only used a couple of times, this word ready. One of them here is in Ezra, and the other three we're going to look at, it's used four times in God's word. Psalm 45, and it begins with this: my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And here the psalmist is telling us that he has something that is on his heart, something that is on his tongue, and now he's putting it in writing, just like Ezra, who was a scribe, could do. Something on his tongue, something that he needed to communicate. And what he had, the word inditing there means it's something that's overflowing. It's something that overflowing. He couldn't contain it. And he needed to write it down. He needed to tell someone. And this is a little bit like the character of Ezra here. It tells us that he was a ready scribe, that he was skilled, he was equipped, he was able, because he's had something to say. He had something important that he needed to tell the people. Then in Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 5, we find it used again. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 5, and we'll find this word used again. And I'm trying to develop this character of Ezra so that we can see who he was, because he's there for a purpose. Chapter 16 and verse 5. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. The word there is hasting, the same word as back there where it describes Ezra as a ready scribe. He's quick to be righteous. Hasting to be righteous. He's quick to be righteous. He's got no doubts about what he needs to do. He doesn't hesitate. He needed to do those things. He needed to tell the people these things that were on his heart. He needed to do things. Hasting to righteousness. This is the character of Ezra. And then back in Proverbs chapter 22. We turn back there and look at the final one. Still trying to build this picture of Ezra, chapter 22 and verse 29. And then it says this: seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Diligent is the word here. Seest thou a man ready in his business? The same word. Ezra stood before some kings. And I guarantee you, he probably had some shaking knees in when he went before the king with this request, can I take some people away and go back to Jerusalem? He prayed before the Lord and sought him, and God answered his prayer, and he was diligent. He was diligent. He knew his business and was diligent in the execution of his business, even when it came to those who had authority, like King Artaxerxes. So here's this scribe named Ezra. He was ready. But it also tells us down here in verse 10 that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. This word prepared means to stand perpendicular, to stand upright. It means to be established, to be fixed, to be stable, to be ready, faithful, fastened, firm. Now, these are the words of the Holy Spirit describing Ezra to us, what he was like. Because it tells us here that this is what his heart was like. This is who Ezra was, because it says he prepared his heart. And if it wasn't true, would the Holy Spirit put it here? If Ezra wasn't this type of character, would the Holy Spirit put it here? This is here. This was Ezra's heart. This was who he was. This was his character. This was his very being. He was someone who was ready. He was someone who had a heart that was prepared. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. There are 5 points I want you to look at with me this morning. 5 things with the letter P in them, showing us the readiness, the preparedness of Ezra, the original Boy Scout. So let's turn to Ezra chapter 7, if we can be there. And we read that verse in verse 10 again. And the first one is this. He was ready or prepared to preach and teach. He was ready or prepared to preach and teach. Ready to preach. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 it says, "And Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." That was his mission. That was his mission. That was his goal. That was his task. This is what he wanted to do. This is the thing that was on his heart. He had to preach and he had to teach. And he prepared to do this. He was ready to do this. And we can find him doing this in the book of Nehemiah. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 8, where he literally does this. Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to read a few verses here of Ezra in the time of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the 7th month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mathaniah and Shemaiah and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Mezariah, on his right hand, on his left hand Pediah and Mishael and Malachiah and Hashem and Hashbadani and Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Jamin and Achab and Shebathiah and Hanijah and Hamasiah and Ketiah and Zariah and Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." Here we find Ezra opening God's word, reading God's word, and clearly and distinctly making sure that everybody who stood there understood what was being read. He stood in that pulpit of wood, had the word of God, the law, and read it. And as he read to those men and women who were old enough to understand, there were others who helped him, others who he had faith in that knew the word, helped them to understand the truths of God's word. He interpreted and taught it so that everyone there not only just heard it, but understood what it was all about. This was part of his character. Being a scribe, and if you know anything about scribes had to be of a particular type of person. Okay, some of us in here would not make a very good scribe. Who thinks they wouldn't make a very good scribe this morning? Scribes, very particular. Very particular. Check and recheck. Double check. Make sure it's right. Oren would do a good job as a scribe. Remember doing math tests and doing all the checks, even though he didn't need to do the checks. But he wanted to make sure it was right. And that's the idea you get of Ezra. He was very particular. And scribes had to be of that character. So here he is preaching God's word and making sure that everybody understood what it meant. Do you think he knew what it meant? He had prepared his heart for this. Being a scribe and a priest, if he'd done any scribing recently, he'd have to understand what he was writing about. He'd have to understand the truths. Because if he made a mistake, one jot or tittle out of place, he'd have to get rid of that bit of paper and start again. Okay? This was the character of Ezra. This is the one who stood before the people and explained to them the word of God. Do you think he would have done a good job? Absolutely. He was very meticulous with his work because he was that scribe. He interpreted, he taught, he made it very clear to them, first of all, hey, this is God's word, this is the truth. And then he was able to give an answer to them. If others had questions they didn't understand, I'm sure there'd be those that asked questions during that time. But he had answers for them. And we need to be like that too, don't we? When it comes to God's word, we need to be meticulous. We need to know God's word. It tells us, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It tells us there that we need to have a ready answer. We need to know God's word so that we can give an answer if someone has a question. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The starting point is sanctification, giving yourself wholly to knowing God's word. Because when you're giving yourself wholly to knowing God's word and meditating on it and it's part of your being, then you're going to be able to give an answer and you won't find that difficult. You won't find yourself fiddling and fumbling with your phone and asking Siri or Mr. Google an answer to something that someone asks you, because you'll have it in your heart, because you've meditated on it, you've studied it, you know it. Ezra didn't have a phone. Okay, he had God's word and those things he'd hidden in his heart. So be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that's in you. Have an answer ready. Ezra was ready. He'd prepared himself. He was ready to teach. He was ready to preach. He was ready to make it plain. He was ready to share the truth. Are you ready? Then back also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we could turn back there a bit. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It tells us that we need to preach the word in verse 2. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Be instant. Be at hand, handy, ready. That's what the word instant means here in the Greek. Be ready to share the truth. Be ready to preach, especially what's needed, especially what's necessary. You need to know it first. So have it as a part of you so that you can be instant with an answer, ready with an answer. Ezra was ready and prepared to teach and preach. Are you ready? Secondly, if we go back to Ezra chapter 9, we'll look at Ezra was prepared. He was ready to pray. Ezra was ready. He was prepared to pray. And we see that quite a few times scattered through these things where Ezra was ready to pray. Let's have a look then at verse 1, chapter 9 in Ezra. I'm in Nehemiah. Now these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites, the Ammonites and the Moabites, the Egyptians and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. There were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Here we find Ezra was ready to pray, especially when he had some very, very bad, very sad news. A report from those he had trusted came in to him and said, things are pretty bad out there. Since they've come back, they've intermarried. And this has caused big problems. And you can see how distraught Ezra was when he heard the news. It affected him right to the core of who he was. It went right to his heart. It went right to the place where he loved God. It went right to the place where he loved the people that were around him. And we can see there how stunned he really was, because he just sat there. He sat there. Then he did something that we should do also when we have bad news, when we're faced with disappointments like Ezra was. What did he do? He prayed. He called out to God. He cried out to God. He was prepared to pray and seek God's help. He was prepared to pray and find the answer to this problem that was before him. He sought out God and prayed. He had a very, very broken heart. And as he prayed, he poured his heart out before the Lord and sought out, what is it you want me to do? He also did this back in chapter 8 and verse 23. There, back in chapter 8 and verse 23, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. This wasn't the first time that Ezra had to come before the Lord and seek something out. He also sought the Lord out when he was bringing the people back from Persia from there. And it wasn't just a little trip either. If you look and see how long it took months for them to get back. So this was something that Ezra also was prepared to pray about. Planning and preparation. Ezra praying about the situation that he found when he got to Jerusalem. Something that cut him to the core. He fell to his knees and cried out. He emptied his soul out before God. And we find in 8:23, God had the answer for Ezra when he needed to come back. He'd already prepared Artaxerxes' heart. And they are able to come back with letters preparing the way. And now as Ezra comes to this sad portion here in chapter 9, there's also an answer that Ezra has here. And it's a sad thing that he had to do. But Ezra was prepared to pray. He was prepared to pray. And the question is this again, are you prepared to pray? The third one this morning, he was ready and prepared to purge. He found out what the problem was. Here's the problem. He saw the princes came saying, here's the problem. And Ezra then knew he needed to fix this problem up. He was ready to purge this problem, and the problem was sin. He was ready to purge sin. And a lot of the time, that's the problem in our lives too, isn't it? We need to have a checkup. We need to keep short accounts. We need to make sure that sin isn't affecting us. And he did. Let's have a look at chapter 10 of Ezra and see what Ezra has to do because of this problem. He was prepared to purge it. He was prepared to deal with it, beginning at verse 9. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month of the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. Ezra knew what the answer was. It involved purging the sin, getting rid of the sin that was in there, because the sin was stopping the reformation that he needed to do. The construction had been going well, but the people's hearts had been taken and stolen by those around them. And now Ezra needed to have some true reformation. And true reformation starts in the hearts of people. It starts with the confession of sin. It starts with the purging of those things that are there that shouldn't be there. And sometimes we allow things into our lives too that creep in unawares, that just nibble away at us. And perhaps they don't seem too bad for a start, but after a while they take the place of our worship of God. And we can see this had happened here in Jerusalem, that these people had been allowed in, married into families, and moved them away from the worship of God to the worship of idols and the false gods of the peoples around them. So what is it that we put first? What is it that we need to purge in our lives? Something needed to be done. Because if we don't get rid of it, it starts to clog up our fellowship with the Lord. And as we can see, when Ezra realized this was a big problem, it just stunned him and took him straight to the heart. And is that what it does to our hearts too, when we realise, hey, there's something there that shouldn't be there? Does it stun you? Does it make you sit back and think, hang on, what am I doing? Does it make you go to the Lord and cry out to him? Ezra was prepared to purge sin. Are we? Are we prepared to do that when we find that sin is a problem in our lives? Number 4, Ezra was ready. He was prepared to persist with this matter. He wasn't just going to take some little shortcut, some little quick band-aid fix with this problem. He was prepared to persist with this matter. Look at verse 12 again. Then all the congregation and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without, neither is this a work of one day or two. For there are many that have transgressed in this thing. Now let our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all of them that have taken strange wives in our cities come at the appointed times with them, and the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of God for this matter be turned from us. Only Jonathan the son of Ashiel and Jaaziah, the son of Tiva, were employed about this matter, and Meshullam and Shebathiah, the Levite, helped them. And the children of the captivity did so, and Ezra the priest, with certain of the chief fathers, after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names, were separated and sat down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. And they made an end of it with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. This just wasn't a quick overnight fix. Ezra went and found those people he could trust, those people who weren't taken in this sin or who had already repented of this sin, and he organised them to go out and to make sure that this was taken care of. In fact, it took 3 months to complete. It took them 3 months to sort it all out. It took them 3 months of talking to people and counselling people and showing them in God's word that this is wrong, this needs to be dealt with. If you don't deal with it, there's a problem here. It took them 3 months to get through absolutely everybody that had the problem. And they dealt with the problem. Ezra persisted with it. He didn't give up. He kept on. So what about us? What can we learn? He made sure it was thoroughly done. Are you a person that's thorough like Ezra to make sure that if you've found someone who has a problem that you help them with it? Do you do the same? Do you spend time and effort, no matter how long it takes, to seek out a struggling soul that needs to be counselled, that needs to be helped, that needs the encouragement, that needs prayer, that needs to know that you love them, they need to know that they have this problem and that there is an answer to the problem? Are you like Ezra, who dealt with these people, that got men that could help them, sought out those ones that could help? Ezra was prepared to persist and not to give up. Are you someone who's like that? And then finally this morning, we find Ezra was prepared to get rid of pride. He was a humble man. Back in Ezra chapter 9, and beginning at verse 10, we find part of Ezra's prayer. And I want you to notice how he prays. How he prays. And he didn't pray for just Israel alone. Look how he prays. He says this, "And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments." Now he didn't, notice here, he doesn't use the words they or them or those horribly wicked people over there, those Israelites who've done all this really bad stuff. Notice what he does. He says, "We." He uses that personal pronoun, we. And if you look through this, you see him over and over again, not referring to them or they, but he uses the word we. He includes himself in this. He includes himself. He was humble. He dealt with his pride. He could have been stood in judgment and said, "It's you guys that have got the problem." But no, he said, "Hang on, we have this problem. We need to deal with this problem. I'm here to help you. Let's do that." He was humble enough to do that. What about us? Are we the one that likes to point the finger at others when probably there's a problem with us too? Because every time I tell people, every time you point the finger, there's three fingers pointing right back at you. So people go around like this. But let's be careful. Let's be careful. Let's be humble enough also to say, "I'm here to help. I'm here to help." Ezra prays collectively, including himself. He doesn't point the finger. He allowed the Spirit through the Word of God to be used. He allowed himself to be used. Ezra was ready. He was prepared to deal with pride. Are we? So how would you describe yourself this morning as we learn a little bit about this fellow named Ezra? He was prepared to teach. He was prepared to pray. He was prepared to purge sin. He was prepared to persist until it was taken care of. And then he was ready to make sure that pride didn't get in the way, that he himself didn't get in the way. Are you prepared? Hopefully this morning we can say, let's be an Ezra. Let's be a ready scribe, someone who was meticulous and make sure that the work of the Lord is done carefully, like a scribe would do his work. Let's have a prepared heart, be instant in season, ready to tell others about the Lord. So let's be like Ezra, that original Boy Scout. Let's put on our scarves, get our woggles. They still have woggles? Does anyone know what a woggle is? What's woggle, Lee? Okay, it's a little leather thing, had a clip on the back and had a little Boy Scout symbol, and you put it up over your scarf. Let's get our woggles out. That's dib, dib, dob, dob. You know, when I was in, we started like this, then metric came in, we had to do it like this. For some, I don't know why it was, it started like this. This was the, is this right? Yeah. But then it went to three for some reason. I don't know why. I think it was about time metric came in. Yeah. So let's, and we used to have to dib, dib, dob, dob and all these sorts of things. Let's be a little bit like those Boy Scouts. Let's be prepared. Let's be like Ezra this morning. Let's take our hymn book, shall we?